And now get ready to smile again with radio's home folks, Crisco's Bacon Sage. In this time of year, it just seems like you have a million extra uses for money, doesn't it? Golly, with extra cash, you could fix up the house or even plan a swell vacation. And listen, you may win that extra money. Yes, in Crisco's big double cash contest. Why, there's 126 big prizes, a grand prize of $2,500, 25 prizes of $100, and 100 prizes of $10 each. And say, you can win even more than that. You can double any prize you win when you submit your entries on official entry blanks available only at your Crisco dealers. Or if your dealer doesn't have his blanks, just write your entries on plain pieces of paper and have your dealer sign his name and address to them. Either way, you will double the amount of any prize you win. It'll double that first prize of $2,500 to $5,000. Now, to enter, write the fifth line to a jingle that's on those official blanks. Here's how the first four lines go. For cakes, pies, and frying each day, most any wise housewife will say, for cakes, pies, and frying each day, most any wise housewife will say, use Crisco, it's sure, so creamy and pure. Use Crisco, it's sure, so creamy and pure. Da-da-da, da-da-da-da, dum-day. Now that's where you write a last line. Maybe something like, and your meals get a hearty okay. And remember, your last line must end in a word that rhymes with day. You see? Isn't that easy? Oh, and it's fun, too. Why, you'll get ideas just from using that wonderful new Crisco. Try a Crisco cake or a pie or do some frying with Crisco and see if you don't get new compliments on your cooking. They'll help you get ideas for last lines. And remember, send in all those ideas because each additional entry means another opportunity to win. Why, in last year's Crisco contest, you should have heard how happy the winners were. Mrs. C.J. Barringer of Denver, Colorado, for example, said,
I'm thrilled beyond words. My husband and I will use the money for a grand vacation we couldn't otherwise afford. I urge everyone to enter and keep trying.
And that's mighty good advice. So here's what you do. With each last line you write for Crisco's jingle, mail your name and address and a Crisco label, any size or facsimile. Address Vic and Sade, Cincinnati, Ohio. That's Vic and Sade, Cincinnati, Ohio. This contest is open to residents of the United States and Canada. Entries will be judged solely on originality, suitability, and aptness. Remember, your Crisco dealer has official entry blanks with complete rules and the Crisco jingle printed on them. If your entries are on official blanks or if they're on plain pieces of paper with your dealer's signature and address, you'll double the amount of any prize you win. So today, see your dealer for official blanks. Win and double your winnings in Crisco's Double Cash Contest. Well, sir, our scene is a peaceful one as we enter the small house halfway up the next block now. Mr. and Mrs. Victor Gook and their son, Rush Gook, are spending a quiet evening at home. We find Vic established at the library table playing solitaire, Sade darning gentlemen's socks on the davenport, and Rush reading a storybook in the easy chair. And now a considerable silence is broken.
Oh, darn it.
What's the trouble, Dr. Speech?
I just thought of something.
Don't tell me you left your lighted cigar on the highly polished surface of my dresser.
I was positive I had money matters between Ruthie and me all straightened out. Some stuff popped in my head just now that throws my calculations all out of kilter. Willie.
Uh-huh?
You're not busy. Skip out in the dining room and get me my pocketbook out of the top drawer of the buffet.
Okay. Well, George, this is an interesting story I'm reading.
Oh, it is.
Third Lieutenant Clinton Stanley among the counterfeit and left-handed natives of the Orange Sea. Or how pluck and honesty won love, fame, and fortune. What I'm reading now, it tells about how 3rd Lieutenant Stanley faced death by drowning and escaped through a secret tunnel.
Hop along after my pocketbook, Sonny.
Oh.
Darn it.
You said that.
No, but it makes a person tired. This trip, I was bound and determined I'd keep track of my money. Kept a strict record in my head of exactly what I started out with, exactly what I spent, and exactly what I ended up with. But sitting here just now, a couple items popped in my noodle, and I'm confused as a horse.
I expect you're talking about a shopping expedition with Ruthie.
Yeah, you know how we always do.
Get confused.
Uh-huh. lend each other cash during the course of the afternoon, make purchases for each other, buy articles for each other with the understanding the money is to be paid back later, and all this and that till we finally wind up without any notion of where we stand.
Mm.
But today I made a special effort to keep track. I kept tab on every single... Thanks, Willie.
Uh-huh. Gov want me to read you some exciting junk from my book?
I
want
to talk to Gov a minute.
Uh-huh.
You got a pencil there handy?
You're darn right. I told her what was what that time. Hey, Doc, honey?
Well, take your pencil and a piece of paper and let's itemize this business step by step.
You know, of course, you interrupted my game of solitaire.
According to my figures, when I got home this afternoon, Ruthie and I come out exactly even. I owed her nothing. She owed me nothing. But there's a monkey wrench in the machinery someplace. Let's track down the difficulty.
Didn't we go through all this same sort of thing before and end up more in the dark than when we started?
Yeah, but today I kept tabs. Should be very...
You bought a nice shirt and Ruthie paid for it. You and Ruthie each bought. You lent Ruthie a dime and Ruthie paid back a nickel of it. Ruthie got weighed in the weighing machine. The stranger paid on a penny.
It is generally that mixed up. Kept tabs. All right, $4.67.
Okay.
$4.67 represents the amount of money I had in my pocketbook when I locked the house this afternoon and headed for downtown.
$4.67.
I have in my pocketbook now $1.14.
$1.14.
I kind of began to make sure.
What does the word grandiloquent mean?
Horse.
You don't know, huh?
It means horse. Grandiloquent is derived from the Greek root grandma and the Portuguese idiom yobo fickle seep, or in English, I am ill in my tent. Combine the two.
All right, $1.14.
$1.14.
Subtract that from $4.67. The result will be exactly what I spent while I was with Ruthie. Now we'll know where we stand.
Ma'am, what does grandiloquent mean?
I'm busy, Willie.
The whole sense of the sentence I'm reading depends on this one word.
That's nice. You got that all subtracted accurate?
Got it all subtracted accurate.
What's the remainder?
$3.53.
Fine.
Yes, sir.
$3.53 represents the exact sum I spent while I was with Ruthie.
Mm-hmm.
Now, write down penny.
Penny.
Each of us bought a stick of gum in at the drugstore on the way downtown. We were on Market Street there and we...
What's the matter?
Hey.
Huh?
Transaction took place in that darn drugstore I never kept a record of in my noodle. Ruthie bumped into Fred's boss's wife and paid her back a quarter she owed her, but only had a nickel and a dime in change, and I furnished the extra 10 cents.
Very well. So far, Ruthie's in debt to you.
Wait. That's all right. That's perfectly all right. She handed me back my 10 cents there in Kleeberger's. Or did she?
I really wouldn't be in a position to throw any considerable light on the subject, not having been present.
She handed me 10 cents, all right, but did that 10 cents represent the 10 cents she owed me from the drugstore transaction, or the 10 cents she borrowed in at Yamilton's when we... No, because we were in Kleeberger's before we were in Yamilton's. Let me think a minute.
Go ahead.
Darn it.
Yeah.
Let me think a minute.
Hey. Third Lieutenant Stanley is bound and gagged. Can't move his legs. Can't move his arms. All he can do is flex his muscles. What do you think he does?
Buys a ticket for Dubuque, Iowa.
He gets Lady Margaret to put a bullet on his arm. Then he flexes his arm muscle real quick, and that bullet shoots across the river and kills a counterfeit and left-handed native of the Orange Sea. And then, by George, he
all right, Pick, I got it all straight in my noodle.
Mm.
You wrote down penny.
Certainly did.
Write down dime.
Dime.
I spent a dime in at Empson's for shoelaces. Empson's was the second place we stopped at. Third place we stopped at was Kleeberger's. Ruthie bought garters for Fred. She paid for them out of her own pocketbook, and there wasn't any other transaction.
I seem to recollect you saying a moment ago Ruthie paid you 10 cents in at Kleeberger's.
Well, she did, but we don't have to bother with that. See, it all cancels out, correct? She borrowed the 10 cents in at the drugstore and paid me back in at Kleeberger's. It cancels out in apple pie order.
Now,
Yamilton's. Here's where we're going to find the monkey wrench in the machinery. Write down dollar.
Dollar.
Gov, did you ever hear of anybody so strong they could lift a gunny sack full of gold?
We're occupied here, Willie. Save that till later. Write down dollar.
I've already done so.
Dollar represents what I paid for my wash racks. Write down 3 cents and mark it money I owe Ruthie.
Mm-hmm.
Because I bought a package of hairpins. Oh, wait a minute. I better keep this in order. I bought thread before I bought hairpins. I bought a spool of white thread, number 50, price 5 cents. Hey, Ruthie's got that thread.
Is she?
Sure she has. I made my purchase, and while the clerk was wrapping it up, I stepped over to say hello to Miss Wilton there in the underwear, and Ruthie stayed to get my thread and put it in her pocketbook and forgot to give it back.
Hmm.
Well, that don't need to change our figures, though. She will give it back.
Hmm.
All right, now.
Hmm.
I bought 15 cents worth of candy for Ruthie, and Ruthie bought a 25-cent box of fancy-headed pins for me.
Oh, Sandy, kiddo. Well, you girls go shopping, why don't you keep your purchases separate? No wonder you get yourselves in a labyrinth of high finance and
candy. Well, the candy and pins is simple. I got a record of it tucked away in my noodle. Here's what happened. I run up to the fourth floor in Yamilton's to look at dress material. Ruthie stayed downstairs. While she was looking over the stuff at the different counters, she found these pretty boxes of fancy-headed pins on sale and bought some for herself and me, too. Well, a little later on... Oh, say, Miss Kreider.
What about her?
She enters the picture at this point.
Hmm.
She bumped into Ruthie while I was on the fourth floor and asked her to contribute to some church business or other. Ruthie give her a quarter for the two of us. Makes me owe Ruthie 12.5 cents, see?
Oh,
sure. Well, when I got back downstairs, Ruthie told me about the contribution, and I dug in my purse after what I owed her, but only had 9 cents in change. So what's 9 from 12.5? 3? 3.5. Well, 8.5. We can forget the half.
Let's do.
Now, where were we?
The slightest
idea. Oh, the candy. I bought Ruthie 15 cents worth of candy, and she paid me right off the bat. Paid me 16 cents.
Why'd she do that?
Let's see. Why did she? She gave me an extra penny. What was that extra penny for?
Maybe to send some deserving boy to college.
I don't know.
I
don't know where I stand.
Mm.
Maybe Ruthie owes me money. Maybe I owe Ruthie money. I don't know.
Mm.
It's all a rotten muddle.
Mm.
Darn it.
Mm.
Brush.
Uh-huh.
Wipe off your face. Chocolate or something on your chin. Darn it.
Which concludes another brief interlude at the small house halfway up in the next block. And there we leave Crisco's Vic and Sade until the next time. Lady, you may win the grand cash prize of $2,500 in Crisco's big double cash contest. And there's 125 other cash prizes. So get your entries in today. See your Crisco dealer for official blanks with complete rules and instructions on how to double any prize you win. And don't forget to listen to Crisco's Vic and Sade tomorrow. This is Mel Allen speaking.